I'm even grateful.
I couldn't show you anything different in my life
that would that would prove I had a reason to be thankful or grateful.
I couldn't pull it out of my pocket.
I couldn't look at my bank account. I couldn't. No, but I can. No, that first of all, I'm here another day.
I
didn't know that I have another opportunity to do better than I did yesterday.
And
tomorrow's our promise, so I got to work hard right now. And that's just it.
So as
we dedicate
to this life of Christ,
and we have to be very, very, very particular on how we say that. Because, see, you know, you can say loose lips, thick ships.
You can overtalk yourself.
And get yourself in trouble when you're not in that position to say the things that you say or that I say. I've been there, so I can say it. But I know today that all I can say is I'm thankful for God. I'm just thankful for God
and
all that He does for me.
Yes,
that He set me free. He died on Calvary. He gave me the victory. All those things, I'm just thankful that I can tell you how important it is to tell somebody.
And
use whatever platform you have. Don't let people tell you that's not a big enough platform. You don't have enough people watching. There's not enough followers.
I got 5,000 followers.
And I've said it many times. Everybody send me $1.
$1
That's just $1 from 5,000 friends.
It's about those you know that you've been able to sow in their lives.
And in return to that, they sow into your lives. Remember, just like tomorrow's our promise, nothing's free.
Everything has a cost to it.
Everything. And it can be a cost that's going to gain you favor, or it's going to be a cost that sends you into destruction.
Now, we're in the book of Hebrews, and I'm excited.
We're still in chapter one where we're talking about Jesus, the superior Savior. Now, in chapter one, it breaks down to chapter 1 and chapter 4 that Jesus is speaking. We learned that last week. We're going to go over that real quick.
In
the second part, he's exalted.
And
when he's exalted, that means he's lifted up high, and that means that he's glorified, and that there is no barriers to his exaltation.
And we know that
It doesn't matter about him. And that's one thing I study. You know, they said that maybe it was Paul, as I said before. They said that maybe it was Barnabas, they said before. They could say that it was one of Paul's scribes or one of the people that followed him around. I like it because it shows this is a divine word from God. Holy God.
And I look at, believe it or not,
just for a side note, I look at every bit of this as the word of God.
I don't care if it says Second Chronicles, word of God.
I don't care if it says Proverbs, word of God. I don't care if it says Matthew, word of God. I don't care if it says Ezekiel, word of God. I don't care if it says Deuteronomy, word of God. I don't care if it says Genesis, word of God. I am so committed that God translated his thought into letter that we can read it and understand it. Forget the naysayers. Forget the scribes and all the people that want to doubt the living word of God because it is true.
And
if you know it as well as I do, it performs itself.
But it takes us being willing to believe in the divine word of God.
So let's put again who wrote it. Let's not worry about what year, what time. Let's look at what was written.
And knowing that we don't have to go with the majority.
When it comes to the word of God, you don't have to follow the popular.
You have to follow the truth.
Let me tell you something. When you know it's truth, the truth hurts.
The truth hurts. Now, it might not touch you, it might not harm you, but when I mean the truth hurts, it's not going to be like, why did I even go there? Because I know the truth was not going to let me do what I wanted to do. That's just like that word, no.
The truth is when no, he's like,
I got to tell myself no.
The truth hurts, but the truth will set me free. It'll set me free now.
I have to wait to be free. All I have to do is follow the truth. And I'm not worried about who said it. Was it Martin Luther? Was it King James? Or was it anybody else? They can put whatever name and whatever title they want on it. This is the divine word of God.
And here's how the book begins. There's no attempt to prove God's existence.
We have to learn from God how He really is.
We have to experience Him individually.
I said something very profound. Do you know in the beginning it says, let us make man in our own image.
And then He sent His Son in that image. Oh, come on, wake up, people. He made us in His image, and then He sent the same image to mingle with us and show us how sovereign He is.
That He is the Prince of Peace, that He is the first and last, the beginning and the end.
And that He is what various and many prophets spoke on,
that He was a revelation of their word. God.
All of the things he was the manifestation of their word. They jumped up in their prophets. Because the word came to life, and because they were in his presence, asking from the body,
you think that's just a new principle?
Sebastian is present, and just feel the empathy that what you say is alive. And whoever wrote this book knew that God existed. He didn't have to be convinced, he didn't have to be pushed or guided.
The writer of Hebrews knew that God existed.
And he knew that God spoke to man.
You ought to write this stuff down. We have a Bible study, right? Don't just go listen to the replay again. You actually ought to be on notebook number two.
Or do notebooks like I do, write on one side, flip it around, and write on the other. But this is valuable information for us that I study to show myself approved, but it works for me.
It gives me clarity.
See, Christ is not explained here.
But it's a door. The essential of Christ is to be accepted as true revelation.
To be apprehended by faith, so it cannot be apprehended by words. Your faith must grow, or you don't have to see it.
I'm going to be successful. You don't see it here because you're working on it. But you see it in faith.
And faith is win now.
You want me to prove it to you?
Okay, go to Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11, chapter 1. I almost got caught up with 12.
It says now faith is something to think for and the evidence of things not seen.
Don't you know that you have to operate as it already does? And Hebrews is going to teach us that.
So many prophecies, so many prophetic words that went forward to confirm this thing,
but now we have a dramatic presentation.
We have a direct presentation
of Christ here for us.
If you're wondering, if you're questioning, if you're doubting, here he's showing us who he is.
Because he's letting the author speak to us.
Then he's letting the author exalt him. Let's just recap chapter one.
God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son.
Who has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the world.
Now, I know somebody said, last week.
Somebody, I had five people hit me up and say, I need you to go over that again.
And I told them, I need you to study it again.
And I did too, and now we're going to go over it again together and watch this conversation.
And if you have a revelation, look, if we were hearing first, I would be willing to accept your input. If you're out there and something that God is saying is making you say, hey, God, give it in the comments. Let's communicate. Watch this.
And these last days spoken to us by his Son.
Who has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins,
sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I don't understand if he's Egyptian or not. But look, he came, he did, and he returned.
Don't ever get it twisted.
The only sermon that I preach on Resurrection Sunday every year is called One Time Deal.
And yet he's given me many scriptures to expound on about One Time Deal. But let me make it clear to anybody out there that he's going to keep on doing what you do, keep on living the way you live, and Christ is going to come back and die for your sins again. No, he did one time. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. One time deal.
Now, you have a lot of opportunities to mess up, and we have a lot of opportunities to fall down, but we get up. You better stop falling, because it may not be hard to get up.
We need to stop. That song has blessed me so many times. We are down. Stop speaking about falling down. And stand on. Enough is enough. God is showing us. The sovereignty of his spirit is showing us that you must stop making bad decisions. Oh, yeah, this is the Bible study.
Watch this.
Heaven becomes so much better than the angels, chapter verse 4.
He has by his heritage attained more excellent name than they. For which of the angels did you ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you.
Never.
Not once. Again, I will be the father and he shall be my son.
Never.
The statement God made to his only.
Not to the prophets, not to Moses, not to David, not to Jeremiah, not to anyone that you may have read or studied about.
He only is talking about Jesus.
Watch it.
But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, all the angels of God worship him.
Who can say that? And of the angels, who takes his spirit and his minister a flame of fire to the Son, he said, he's talking straight to the Son.
Now, you see where in the beginning it was all about Jesus explaining.
His authority. But now God took a stand on it.
Watch it.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
A scepter of righteousness is the center of your kingdom.
You
have
love,
righteousness,
and
wholeness.
Therefore,
God,
your God
has anointed you
with
all
the oil
of gladness more than you, than your companions. And
you,
Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the world. So you see, you got to know. Jesus just wasn't up there hanging out.
Jesus was just created to come die for us.
Oh, you thought it was just come die for our sins? No, Jesus was in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's just get this clear.
Jesus was not created to come die for sin. Jesus was there in the beginning. He said, in the beginning was the Word, who? Jesus. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made. Don't think that Jesus was a new father. God the Father.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Trinity has always been active. God, don't think it's a new thing that's going on. Jesus, that is the King. That is the Lord. That is everything. And don't get watered down, Jesus, and we think he's just angry to do this. No, he came with a purpose, executed a plan,
and
then he returned to glory.
He said, he's risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3. He said, he's risen with Christ, not the things on this earth. God is down here. The God is here. Not the Jesus resurrection. Not the Jesus salvation. Not the Jesus tribulation. Oh, come on, you see things are changing. You see that the world is willing to bust out and say, I'm a devil worshiper.
They got to change some of the billionaires over changing their belief system and calling on the devil. And only the porthole that you're going in. I'm not looking to the bad. I'm not looking to that. Yeah, I know that's deep, isn't it? You better watch some of these trials. All they're looking is a big old porthole in hell.
Look, I ain't ashamed to tell the truth. They cut me off. I ain't cold, so they can't pull my plug. But there's a picture that you watch of Beyonce's last video. There was a big circle in the middle, and on the outside was her legs. When you looked at her singing, it was a big old porthole, and her legs wide open.
What do you think that represented? I know we might have some young people in here.
Yeah.
We got some 16 years old. They know about sex.
What does that represent?
A big deep hole. You better pay attention.
You better be aware.
You better see how God is showing us right here in His Word that it's time to stay right, not get right.
Remember that, but I'll ask you what I tell you to remind me.
It's time to stay right, not get right.
And that's the word of God.
Verse 10, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands.
They will perish, but you remain.
They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed.
But you are the same, and your years will not fail.
But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool?
You better know who Christ is. You better know the authority.
And the power we have been given. I'm sorry, y'all. I know. I can't get out of chapter one. But it was God. Listen. God, you know, help me so accountable. Go back over this. God, you know, we got all the time in the world. Are we rushing? You can look at last broadcast.
You can look at the broadcast, it is true that it's been different every time.
And I'm thankful that I listen and I'm obedient.
And I'm not here for me.
I'm not even here for you.
I'm here because God sent me.
And how else will we hear the word of God unless God has a preacher?
Verse 14.
But which of the angels has ever said, 'Put your footstool'? Are they not all ministry spirits for those who will inherit salvation?
Now, I know you're going to be like, some of y'all know where I'm going to go right now. If I'm a child of God. And I am an heir of God. And I am an heir with Christ. Then why am I sitting around waiting on the inheritance when the inheritance has already been set?
Salvation is where we come together.
Salvation is where we all submit.
Salvation is where we all come together.
Oh my God, it makes no difference your color, your size, your education, your bank account.
Salvation equalizes us on one accord.
And if you ain't willing to be one with me,
and I'm still willing to be one with you.
That's the most important thing that we can ever do is be one with Christ.
And yes, it's true that God spoke in a variety of ways in the Old Testament. It is so true.
He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. He spoke to Elijah, a small voice. He spoke to Isaiah by a heavenly vision.
He spoke to Hosea by his family crisis. He spoke to Amos by a basket of fruit.
You think he can't talk to you?
See, Hebrews is about understanding that we have direct communication with God.
That in the four days we knew that God spoke to the prophets to give man a word,
and he spoke to the priests to give man a word. No. He now has spoken himself the word to each and every one of us. That's why you have to believe that this is the unadulterated word of God translated from my vision to letter vision.
Yeah, I'll prove it.
There's books all over the place that will teach you how to do bad.
There's a lot of books all over the place that will try to teach you to do good.
And I've read them all. Let me just say,
this one here,
There is no in between.
This one here means you must do the right thing. And who do you do the right thing for?
You do the right thing for God.
Don't do it for me.
Do it for God. Because when you do it for God, you're doing it for yourself.
And you're allowing God to really move. See, these last days.
You gotta pay close attention because they can be long periods of time. You don't know the day or the hour.
You don't know the month, the year.
But he's coming.
He's spoken to us and let us know that
he's real.
He's available and he's ready to lead us. But we don't have to follow anything else again.
So, you know, when you become a child of God,
let's be real with you. You don't become weak. You don't become soft.
No, you become a leader.
There are three percentages of people in this world. I've done the statistical training.
80% of people in this world, not just in America, is a whole world.
80% of everyone in this world is a follower.
80%.
80% of people are followers. That's it. We did some changing around because we learned that
17%
of people are destroyers.
They don't have nothing good to say about nothing. Every time you come up with a good idea, it ain't going to work.
Oh, you're going to fail. You're going to lose all your money. Why would you do that?
And then only 3% of people in this world are leaders.
A leader is one who knows how to follow.
A leader is one who knows how to listen.
A leader is one who knows how to obey.
A leader is one to show by example how people should do what God told us to do.
That's a true leader.
A leader dies so other people can live.
A leader gets out of the way so somebody else can feel more special. A leader will be quiet. That doesn't take away from your strength. That doesn't take away from your ability. What it takes is you being led by the Spirit and doing what the Word of God is saying. Now look.
We're going to get into chapter 2 sometime. In chapter 2, I want you to study this, that we will recognize that he is our elder brother.
We understand that in verse 1 and 9, that the Lord is the angel, and then in verse 10 and 18, Jesus brings his people to glory. He's leveling us out.
And making us be known. That we ain't nothing special.
We all look alike. We all look different. But we're still just alike. When you become a child of God and you walk in that childhood, and you allow us to collaborate and unify in one.
Don't get mad because of the way we do things, and I can't get mad at how you do things.
How do we find a medium to help the people?
And help the people right now.
And I don't know if you look around, there's a lot of people that need help.
Amen.
I am a child of God.
Family God, bless God. I thank God for being here this evening for our Pure Bible study.
It seems like it should go longer, but I don't like to hold people past 30 minutes.
I can go an hour. I could.
I got plenty of information.
But I don't like to bore and I don't like to lose.
I like everybody to get the power of the Word of God that they can go forward and finish out their night and not be stuck with me until 8 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Central, and 11 o'clock on the East Coast.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. I enjoy you all too when you stop by and allow the Lord to speak through me. Amen.
Pastor Terry has posted three ways he got someone to this ministry.
We still have a backpack. We still blessing the kids. We want to show you, donate. Follow the link and get in touch with us. Let's make it a joyous time. This weekend, Saturday,
at Eldorado Park.
Studebaker exit entrance. I think they're between Willow and Spring. The Linwood 15th annual all-class pick reunion will be going on this Saturday.
I heard
it starts at 8.
If you want to
get set up, you better get out there early.
I know I'm coming in there.
I got a couple days in the morning to take care of. I am going to show up. I will be there
on Saturday.
And we're going to do our selfies and all that stuff. We're going to say something to everybody there. But yes, the alumni picnic is Saturday. We got shirts left. If you want to buy a shirt, get in touch with me. I still have 12 prints ready. I have three with the gold trim and nine with the purple. It ain't gold, any color shirt. But we do have purple, black and white shirts left. If you want a shirt,
small to extra large
is $25.
If you want
2X to 4X,
it's $35.
Cash out today. I'll make a shirt. Come pick them up.
Amen.
We want to see you this. Everybody.
I want everybody to show up.
We've lost a lot of soldiers.
But I want to see everybody this weekend. Do a drive-by.
Do a walkthrough. Take a picture. Say hi to Pastor E. Do something to come out this Saturday.
The All-Class Reunion.
Linwood Alumni All-Class Reunion.
Whatever, Cheryl.
Cheryl says she wants a 2X gold.
A mom wants a
2X.
Okay, all right. Amen.
We got, like I said, we still have some shirts. Call me individually. And let's make it happen. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. Enjoy your evening.
And love you so much.
Amen. God bless.
Five minutes to Rosalind. Get the mouse on that microphone. First test. Get in the soul.